This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're going to end this hour by screaming. Screams that grab your attention, and they do. They're unmistakable. There are even iconic screams. Did you recognize some of those iconic screams, you know? Did you know even animals scream? Let me read you something Charles Darwin wrote. Hares and rabbits, for instance, never, I believe, use their vocal organs except in the extremity of suffering. Cattle and horses suffer great pain in silence. But when this is excessive, and especially when associated with terror, they utter fearful sounds. That's what he said. Now, the scream is universal, but what is a scream? What sets it apart from being a shout or a cry or something? A group of scientists wanted to figure this out when it comes to humans. So they measured the acoustical properties of human screams to help try to define it. That's what scientists do. They try to put definitions on things and measure it. And that can help them understand the evolution of this type of communication and why we use it. And their work was presented at this week's Acoustical Society of America meeting. My next guest is part of that group, and here to talk about that is Harold Gazulis. He's professor of psychology at Emory University in Atlanta. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ira. Thanks for the invitation. Love the show, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. Would it be fair to call you a screamologist? Is there such a thing?
Well, you could say that. I'm an animal behaviorist interested in animal communication and non-linguistic human communication. And over the years, I've just gotten fascinated by screams. Mm. And that work started when my wife, Sarah, and I were postdoctoral fellows at the Rockefeller University working with a very prominent animal behaviorist by the name of Peter Marler. And we were looking at rhesus monkey screams. And I've continued to have an interest in screams, animal screams, and then a few years ago realized that the literature just didn't address human screams much at all. In fact, we know more about animal screams than we do human screams. And so that got us interested in exploring human screams and how people perceive them and the different kinds of screams that exist, which is a really interesting
area. Let's get into it. Now, as a scientist, then you have to know there has to be a definition of a property. What are the properties of a scream?
We started by trying to figure out whether people agree on what constitutes a scream. So the first part of that study that was reported on at ASA involved presenting about 180 participants with a range of vocalizations, some of which we thought were probably considered screams, but the important thing was that we wanted to see whether there was agreement. And they showed a lot of agreement over what constitutes a scream, and that is despite the fact that there's a lot of acoustical variation, because with humans, as probably everybody knows, we scream in a variety of contexts. And when we're angry, in pain, fearful, excitement, there are startle screams, and yet animal screams are mostly restricted to fights or occasionally in confronting a predator. And so human screams vary a lot more acoustically and in the contexts in which we use them. And so the first stage was to ask, do people agree on what constitutes a scream? And so unlike some of the previous research that has attempted to explore the issue of what are the parameters, what are the acoustical parameters that define screams, we wanted to first say, all right, do people agree? And now let's look at the vocalizations that they deem screams and compare them to the vocalizations that were not screams.
Now, like, I scream, you scream,
yep.
You know.
Yeah.
And I understand that there's a property of what makes a scream called roughness. Can you tell us about that?
That is, that came out in a paper a couple of years ago by Luc Arnal and colleagues. And roughness It's not an easy thing to define, but it has to do with rapid amplitude modulation in a vocalization. So with a lot of amplitude modulation, you get a harsh buzzing or gravelly sound. And so it was their contention that roughness is the prime feature of that defines a scream. We think it's a little bit more than that, and I believe that subsequent research by that group has also found that roughness is not restricted to screams, but some components of infant crying is also rough. Hmm. So roughness is associated with aversiveness, and screams, for many, are indeed averse.
Okay, so we want to test how well our listeners can identify a scream, and we want to play a couple of clips. I haven't heard them, so I'm going to play along too and guess, and you're going to tell us, and we're going to guess if this is a fear or excitement or anger or a startled scream. You have been warned, listeners. There are screams coming up like this. Wow. I have to guess that's a fear scream. Would I be right?
No. No, you would not.
What is that?
But that is actually excitement. It is I would guess about a 10 or 11-year-old girl opening a present at Christmas, and it's something she didn't anticipate. It's clearly extremely exciting, and that's the vocalization that she produced.
All right. Now, if I'm opening a present and I go like, why is this not a scream? I go, oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. It's just what I wanted.
I know.
How is that not? Is that a scream, too?
Well, no, not the way you presented it, of course. But, you know, interesting in all of the examples of this kind of excitement scream. And in fact, you can search YouTube and find many examples of people opening presents and reacting in that way. But they all tend to be women. I have not seen a single instance in which a man opens a present and responds in that way. So that's...
Well, you meant one. Okay. Let me go on to our next scream. Let's play this. Let's hear it now. Gee, what kind of scream is that? That sounded fear.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, right. Because yes. It's the sort of the thing you hear in the movies, you know? It's a little
Well, indeed, yes.
And when you study this, do people have difficulty when you present these screens to them? Do they have difficulty telling you which is the correct scream?
Again, they identify. It's as if there's a high-level class of screams, and it independent of the context or the emotional valence of the vocalization, they label them screams.
Yeah.
And what we've explored in additional work that wasn't reported on at that meeting is whether or not people have the ability to do just what you are trying to do, and that is identify the context of a scream. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, and again, this is unpublished work at this point, but certain kinds of screams are readily distinguishable from others. So an anger scream, and I don't know whether you've got one of those queued up, but anger or rage is distinct, very distinct from fear. But, and this is interesting with respect to your original judgment, that excitement screams are not easily distinguished from fear screams.
That's interesting.
So acoustically, clearly they are more similar.
Yeah. We have a third
excitement and fear. Yeah,
No, that's okay. We have a third example we want to play, and guess what type of scream this is? It sounds like somebody whistling for a taxi. it didn't sound like a scream at all.
I'm impressed because you're right, but interestingly, most participants scored that as a scream. So
what? That was a whistle? Was that a whistle?
That is a whistle.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely right.
I'd say I've been living in New York too long.
that must be the case. Yeah. No. That is a whistle, and it does share certain properties in terms of the length of that whistle, and the frequency modulation, and the fundamental frequency all resemble, to some extent, screams. Now, of course, we chose that whistle because it seemed to us beforehand, that some people might confuse that for a scream, and indeed, that was the case.
All right, let's go to the phones. A lot of people want to talk about screams. Let's go to Alexis in Kansas City. Mo, hi, hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you. Well, I am a trainer for zip line guides and challenge course facilitators.
Oh, my. Can I collaborate with you?
Absolutely. That would be so much fun.
How many kinds of screams have you heard?
Quite a few. Definitely on the fear side. But I actually find it more enjoyable for my own job when I go down a zip line. Excuse me. That I scream, much like Peter Pan in Crowing, and the enjoyment of flying. And so I find it more enjoyable at my job when I scream.
Is that like people on the roller coaster, are you saying? Like to scream?
Yeah.
I would think so. People pay good money to go to haunted houses and experience frightful situations in which they can scream.
Yeah, exactly. And I also recently went to a New Kids on the Block concert, and there was a lot of screaming there, and it was all enjoyment screaming.
All right, that's a good point. Thanks for bringing that up. Is there a difference, Harold, between enjoyment screaming or, you know, getting that new present, or screaming when you see somebody coming off a plane or going down a zip line?
Indeed, those excitement screams are interesting. And the fact that people have difficulty distinguishing them from fear screams, I find, again, very intriguing. Don't fully understand that at this point, but people clearly enjoy screaming. Again, if you look on YouTube for scream contests, people enjoy competitively screaming to see who can scream the longest and the loudest and so forth. There's something pleasurable about it. And of course, any parent knows that children love to scream.
There is a hollering contest. I remember back in the day when I worked on All Things Considered, I was one of the judges. These tapes have come in. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from WNYC Studios. Talking about screaming, and that's with Harold Gazulas, professor of psychology at Emory University. Let's go to the phones, because this is an interesting comment here from, was it Galen in the Lake Tahoe?
Yes.
Hey there, go ahead.
Well, I'm a retired Los Angeles policewoman, and I have been in all kinds of scary situations. And when it's really, really scary, I'm embarrassed, but I have to say, I hoot, just like a monkey, and I don't do it any other time. I wouldn't even imagine. But then when it comes out, I can't stop until the situation is either safer or something has changed, but I hoot.
Are you trying to scream? Are you trying to scream?
No. In fact, the last time I did it wasn't even on the job. I was hiking in Malibu in the mountains, and I was talking away and totally relaxed, going on trail, and suddenly a snake snapped at me, almost hit my foot, my tennis shoe, and without thinking, I hooted backwards down the trail that I didn't even know I could do. I hopped,
wow.
And the snake went through the air, and then I landed under the shade of a tree, and I got quiet. And I have no idea how I knew to do that, because I had never done that in my life.
Great story. Thanks for sharing that with us. Harold, everyone's, you know.
Everybody likes screams. And I noticed that on the webpage, you had Munch's famous scream painting up there, which, of course, everybody recognizes. I believe it's second only to the Mona Lisa in terms of being recognized by people.
Can you be too afraid to scream? You know, you see that in people in movies or whatever, and she was describing it, she hooting. Is there a time when we're too, something just closes up, or our minds don't scream?
I believe that does happen.
And do we know why that happens, or is that not part of your research?
No, we haven't been able to. You know, our research focuses mostly on how people respond to screams. Oh. So we play them through headphones, and then we have them work on a computer and answer questions about how they're perceiving screams and what they think they're associated with. But it's harder to study scream production.
Right.
Unlike in the days when we were studying monkey vocalizations, you go out into the field, you work with a group of monkeys, and you put a microphone in front of them, and you can record screams. Of course, that you can't do that with human screams very readily.
No, you can't do that. And I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today. And I hope, all your screams are little ones, sir.
Well, they're not, but still. I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's a joy to have you on. Harold Gazzula is a professor of psychology at Emory University in Atlanta. And we won't scream. We'll just wrap the show up in a normal way. BJ Lederman composed our theme music. Oh, one last note before we go for all you Texas fans. Cy Fry Crew and I will be hitting the road this August. We are coming to San Antonio. We love that city. We want you to join us Saturday, August 10th, for Science Friday Live from the great state of Texas. We're going to talk about science stories in the San Antonio area, have live music, more. It really is a lot of fun. That's in San Antonio. It's August 10th, Saturday night, not a Friday, Saturday night, August 10th. Info and tickets at sciencefriday.com/San Antonio. Hope to see you there August 10th. Saturday night in San Antonio, sciencefriday.com/San Antonio. If you missed any part of the program, you'd like to hear it again, subscribe to our podcast. And a reminder, people have been asking about this. We do have transcripts of all our past episodes on sciencefriday.com. If you want to read it, you want to sit back and not put on the earphones, we have transcripts. All of our past episodes, we have 30 years almost of past episodes, sciencefriday.com. And you can find our past episode there in transcripts, people who might be some of your favorites from the past. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.